Hello, everybody, and welcome into the Patriots Training Camp Recap Podcast for Day 18 of Patriots Training Camp. I'm Alex Barth from 98.5 The Sports Hub. We are joined today by Doug Kide, a national NFL reporter for Pro Football Focus. Used to cover the Patriots back here in Boston. He was in New England today for the Patriots Training Camp practice, joint practice against the New York Giants, which was, I don't know, Doug, you tell me if I'm being, if I'm getting caught up in the moment here, one of the more historic training camp practices of the Bill Belichick era, potentially?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, you could possibly sense a power shift there in the quarterback competition between Cam Newton and Mac Jones. And I think that, you know, heading into today's practice, there were really three possibilities: that Mac Jones could completely falter, really struggle against new competition in the joint practice setting, simply just be okay, I guess, would be the second option. And then really what happened, which was that he really aced a test, a really important test with Cam Newton away from the facility in a joint practice against the Giants. And I think that that's really what we saw today, that he did ace that test.
What specifically to you did he ace, right? A quarterback can play well, and that can mean so many different things. What stood out to you that makes you say that, okay, Mac Jones got an A for the day?
I think he looked really polished. He avoided mistakes. He did have one near interception that I believe one of the Giants safeties.
Xavier McKinney one, yeah.
Yeah, that he dropped, so wound up being a pass breakup. But that was really the only error on Mac Jones for the day. He only took one sack from what I noted. He had a delay of game penalty, but those are all pretty normal things. And he completed 87% of his passes, right, which, you know, training camp stats are training camp stats. But I don't think that, I mean, I haven't certainly been at every single Patriots practice so far. I've been to some other, training camp practices this summer, but I can't really even remember Tom Brady completing that many passes in one of these, joint practices or training camp practices while he was here. So I think that was just the big thing to me, how precise he was. I thought he looked polished. I thought that simply he just looked like he could be a starting quarterback in the NFL today.
Well, so let me ask you this, because I know you've been to a number of different training camps. You were in San Francisco. They have a rookie quarterback, obviously, there, and Trey Lance. In L.A., Justin Herbert, not a rookie, but relatively young. I mean, how does Mac compare for us who just get to watch the Patriots? You know, we see that this is all we get from a rookie quarterback point of view. It's really the most rookie quarterback point of view we've had for 20 years. The guys who came in before Jones were destined to be backups. That was always the case. How does he look compared to some of these other young quarterbacks you've seen around the league?
I thought that he did look better than Trey Lance, which was a guy that got a really good look at 49ers camp when they were having joint practices against the Chargers. And that was with Trey Lance taking second team reps because Jimmy Garoppolo still is the starter there in San Francisco. And Jimmy Garoppolo was taking all of the first team reps there during that training camp practice. I think that that's really one of the main things that we've seen here in New England, is just that Mac Jones is taking first team reps. And that's been pretty much throughout camp. And a lot of these other situations, like Justin Fields for a really long time wasn't taking first team reps, Trey Lance not taking first team reps, it was pretty clear from the start that this was a competition here in New England, simply because Bill Belichick was giving Mac Jones those reps with the first team offensive line and against the first team defense. So, you know, Mac Jones also, just compared to the other rookie quarterbacks in the preseason, he's PFF's top rated rookie quarterback so far,
right,
throughout the entire preseason. He's number two in the PFF overall grade for quarterbacks, qualified quarterbacks. So he's really been outshining those rookie quarterbacks in the preseason games. And like I said, just from what I saw from Trey Lance in that training camp practice, he was better than him. So I think people are leaning pretty heavily on the fact that Bill Belichick is saying that, you know, Cam Newton is the starting quarterback. And I think that Josh McDaniels kind of delivered the same type of message,
right,
but they have not yet said who is going to be the week one starting quarterback. So all of that has been in the present tense for Mac, for Cam Newton, as far as, him being the starter.
And I agree with that. When Bill says Cam's the starter, he means that on whatever day he says it, and no more forward. But, you know, the way in which he said it, and based on what happened last year, it kind of felt like Cam, at least week one, was going to get the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, things have changed. Do you think Mac Jones is realistically can realistically be talked about as the week one starter if Cam Newton doesn't miss this practice time he's missed this week?
It's a really good question. I'd say that it's much more unlikely, just simply because Mac Jones would not have received the same amount of reps on Monday and on Tuesday, and then for Wednesday as well. And Wednesday, obviously today, was the big practice because it was the Giants being in town. I think that, you know, if Cam Newton was here and if they were still planning as if he was going to be the week one starting quarterback, then I think that he probably would have got the bulk of those reps in today's practice. Maybe they would have split them, but there's a really good chance that Cam Newton would have played well. And maybe Mac Jones doesn't play as well in that practice if he doesn't get as many reps. So I don't know. I do think that this is pretty major that Cam Newton is missing this practice time right now because of the misunderstanding over the COVID protocol, whatever it was that you know specifically happened that caused Cam Newton to miss this time. It's valuable time. And ultimately, you know, Cam Newton probably, I guess, still will be the week one starting quarterback, but this definitely puts Mac Jones more in the conversation. And I think that it lowers those odds that Cam Newton will be the starter in week one.
And then obviously quarterbacks having a big day, some wide receivers got to have a big day, if not multiple. It felt like Jacoby Myers was the guy today. He had a great catch in the back corner of the end zone towards the end of practice, full extension for a touchdown on a 2-minute drill. You covered the team last year and Myers rookie year, so you've kind of seen him, and then seeing him today, just the growth seems to be tremendous in terms of where he's come from a one-time college quarterback to now he looks like he might be the best receiver on the roster.
It's funny that you bring that up, because I was thinking about Jacoby Myers today, and you know, obviously Nelson Agholor got a big contract in free agency,
right?
Kendrick Bourne got a decent contract as well. And I thought that Kendrick Bourne actually played well today as well. He possibly bailed out Mac Jones on a throw when Kendrick Bourne did a really good job of coming back for the ball, when if he hadn't done that, it might've been a pass that could have been either, you know, broken up or intercepted. But just thinking about heading into the season, like, who do we have the most confidence in to be the number one wide receiver on the Patriots? Who do we have the most confidence in that will be getting all of those targets? I think it really is Jacoby Myers, just because of what he did last season and the fact that he's carried that over so well in a training camp, and the fact that he really has outperformed guys like Kendrick Bourne and Nelson Agholor, who have been proven NFL receivers in this league. So, you know, on paper, it would be easy to say, okay, well, Nelson Agholor will probably be the top wide receiver because of the contract that he got. But just knowing how this Patriot system operates, and if we were going simply by pedigree, then N'Keal Harry would have been the top wide receiver on the Patriots last season.
Right.
And that didn't happen. So I don't think that Nelson Agholor and N'Keal Harry are necessarily comparable, because I think that Nelson Agholor will be more successful in this offense. But it doesn't matter when you were drafted. It doesn't matter how much you were paid. It all matters about what you're doing on the field and how dependable you can be. And Jacoby Myers has proven that he can be that dependable option in the offense.
On the defensive side of the ball, something I feel like I bring up daily on this podcast, but it is kind of a daily shifting topic. The boundary cornerback position. The Patriots are looking for somebody to right now play opposite J.C. Jackson. And then if and when Stephon Gilmore comes back, it's still an important role, that third corner. Jason McCourty played 65% of the snaps last year. He's now in Miami. Juwan Williams, it felt like it kind of started to build some momentum. Obviously, the joint practices are big. What did you see from Juwan, or did somebody else at that position maybe catch your eye today?
It's interesting that, you know, you still see Jalen Mills kind of thrust into that position, starting opposite J.C. Jackson at that boundary cornerback position. It just really doesn't feel like he's the best fit for that role. Just, you know, it seems like he was brought in with the assumption that the starting cornerbacks would be J.C. Jackson, Stephon Gilmore, and Jonathan Jones, and then that Jalen Mills would play this kind of hybrid safety cornerback role. But, you know, while Gilmore's been out, it has been a lot of Jalen Mills. I didn't keep that close of an eye, I would say, or not as close of an eye on how the Patriots defense was performing compared to how the Patriots offense was performing. But I did think the Patriots defense did a pretty good job of making life difficult for Daniel Jones. I personally don't have a lot of confidence that Juwan Williams would be the guy to step up there at that cornerback position. It feels like if Gilmore does miss time into the regular season, that the Patriots would at least start out by putting Jalen Mills out there as a starter. We'll all kind of have to see how that would work. And, you know, they play in dime and that quarters defense pretty often with 6 and 7 defensive backs on the field. So someone else would have to come on the field, and then maybe that shifts Jalen Mills over. But really the simplest way to fix this issue is to get the issue with Stephon Gilmore fixed.
Right.
And it's, I don't know how long this will carry over, but it really does feel like it would benefit both sides to get that figured out and get him back in camp and starting week one across from JC Jackson.
And he feels like the great unknown, because the Patriots defense, like you said today, they made life difficult for Daniel Jones. I thought maybe Daniel Jones made his own life difficult a little bit too. The pick to Kyle Tucker was right at him, but no, the defense played well today. And they played well all camp, but there's kind of this overhanging caveat of, well, all right, we think they're going to be a good defense. Is that with or without Stephon Gilmore? And there's variations there. So, yeah, like you said, the great unknown. We'll go back to the offense, though, because you said you had a closer eye there. A fun storyline that's developed here in the last week and a half. Yadni Kajust, third-round pick in 2019. He was on IR. He had surgeries last year at college, missed his first year because of that, was out last year again due to injury. Now he's finally playing, and in this last week and a half, he's played well. He got starting left tackle snaps today. I'm not asking if he's going to be a starting left tackle, but does he look like an NFL tackle to you based on what you saw today?
Yeah, I think it's a really promising sign that, you know, obviously it wasn't a promising sign that Isaiah Wynn walked off the field. Today was extremely hot, very humid. So I think that a lot of those mid-practice absences were probably due to the heat rather than actual injury, but it was definitely a good sign that when he went down, Yadni Kajust was the one who stepped in for him. It wasn't Justin Herron. It wasn't some shifting of the offensive line where you would have Trent Brown at left tackle, then Onwenu at right tackle, and Ted Karras coming in. They just put Yadni Kajust up there. So I think that at the very least, you could, you know, Yadni Kajust should be on your 53-man roster projections at this point. And I'd say that, you know, heading into OTAs, minicamp, and even into training camp, that wasn't the case. He seemed like he would be a pretty easy cut based on what he did the first 2 years of his NFL career. But now I think that he should be on there, and maybe he should even be on there over a guy like William Sherman, who isn't having as strong of a camp as a rookie this season.
That's the exact switch I'm making. Spoiler alert, roster projection 3.0. So there you go. I'm glad I got that one right. Obviously, camp wasn't the only news today for the Patriots. We woke up this morning. Sony Michel traded to the Rams for what's right now a 5th and 6th round pick. It sounds like it will be a 4th round pick when the compensation picks come out in the spring. Do you think that's the Patriots making the best of a bad situation? Should they have held on to Sony? What do you make of all of that?
It's tough. I mean, they had one too many guys at that position. And I know that they like keeping running back depth based on basically what happened in 2015 when they had to sign Steven Jackson for a playoff run, what happened in 2018 when they had to move Cordarrelle Patterson from wide receiver to running back. So they really like keeping that depth. But as we're getting deeper into the summer, all of those guys are still healthy. Damian Harris still healthy. Ramondre Stevenson, J.J. Taylor, James White, Brandon Bolden. So someone had to go. And Sony Michel was the guy that they probably could get the most out of in a trade that they could actually part with, because clearly they're not going to trade Damian Harris. Sure. But Sony Michel also had the least term left on his contract. He'll be a free agent after this season. And I don't know, a 5th and 6th, that doesn't look so good on paper, but a 4th, that's not bad. I mean, I don't think that if he left in free agency, I certainly don't think they were going to get a 3rd round compensatory pick for him. They might not have even gotten a 4th round compensatory pick for him. They might've had to deal with a 6th or 7th round compensatory pick if he left in free agency. So to trade him potentially for a 4th round pick, it's not great when you're trading away a former 1st round pick. But it also wasn't the worst package to get back for him when he was completely expendable in this offense with so many of those other younger players stepping up already.
Right. And you mentioned those compensatory picks. The other part of that is, and I agree with you, I think 4th is the absolute ceiling if he played the season out that they could get comp pick for him, probably looking 5th, 6th round. But the other thing is now they get that pick in 2022, right? This upcoming draft instead of 2023. And the 2022 draft, because of guys staying in school due to COVID, is supposed to be pretty historically deep So this is why we didn't see picks move as much this past spring is right. A fourth round pick in 2022 might be a second or third round pick in another year. So, you know, it kind of, like you said, he was expendable. They could get the most for him. And I thought they carved out a nice little deal there. One more here, Doug, before we let you go, we'll take a look ahead to tomorrow. We'll bring the quarterbacks back in. It's expected Cam Newton's going to practice tomorrow. We don't know for sure. The stipulations say he can return to the facility on Thursday. They don't give an exact time, but assuming Cam Newton's back tomorrow, do you think it's a heavy Cam Newton day to make up for the fact he didn't get reps today? Do you think Mac, as the guy who's practiced all week, gets more reps because he's the prep? Do they split them like they were as if Cam didn't miss any time?
It's really tough because Mac Jones took so many reps today. Just in competitive drills, I think it was something like 55 or something like that, passing attempts. And that's not even including the reps that he was taking early in individual drills. So he probably threw, 60, 70 passes, something like that today, which is a lot. And those competitive reps, he's not taking anything off the ball. So you would think that he might get a little bit of a break tomorrow, but then you also kind of have to look into the optics of the situation. If right. That's what happens, if Cam Newton does take 50 reps, if Mac Jones barely plays, then Bill Belichick knows that we're all going to write, all right, Mac, Cam Newton is still clearly the starting quarterback for the Patriots. So I would expect that it's a pretty even split. And I would say that the one thing that would be really telling is if we see Mac Jones start to lead off some of those reps, or if he continues to take a heavier workload, even with Cam Newton back. At that point, I think that you could genuinely say that there has been a power shift and maybe Mac Jones would be, the leading candidate to be the starting quarterback. But yeah, definitely a lot of intrigue still tomorrow. And it will simply just be interesting to see how Cam Newton bounces back from this time off, because he didn't do very well last year when he missed time with COVID. Obviously, this isn't nearly as much time, but I would also say that by Mac Jones being so good today, by completing 87% of those competitive practice drill reps today, it puts a lot of pressure on Cam Newton to now respond and do something similar tomorrow. And we'll just simply have to see if he's got it in him. If he does, then he'll be the starting quarterback. But if not, then Mac Jones is definitely knocking on the door there.
I know I just said one more, but I have to ask you a follow-up.
For sure.
Let's say Cam can't practice tomorrow. Do you think that, obviously week one, that's Bill's decision, but there can be outside factors. If Cam doesn't practice tomorrow, feels like it's unlikely he plays on Sunday, does that potentially force Bill's hand into a week one decision if Cam Newton, by NFL protocols, cannot right. practice tomorrow?
I don't think so. I think it's still a short enough window where if he missed practice tomorrow, I think that he still certainly could be the week one starter. I think that what that would do and what that would trigger is just obviously more opportunity sure. for Mac Jones to take those reins. I don't think that simply the act of him missing practice and potentially a preseason game would force him out of that week one role. But if Mac Jones does the same thing they did today, whereas, Cam Newton is a net zero for the day by doing nothing, then maybe that could force Bill Belichick's hand a little bit. But it's really interesting. I mean, personally, I'd probably put Mac Jones out there for week one. I think that he's shown enough. I'm not sure what you get at this point out of Cam Newton for one season or however many weeks that he would be the starter. You're almost kind of treading water there. I think that Mac Jones has done enough this summer, but I certainly still would not be surprised if Cam Newton was a starter. And that's at this point still what I would probably expect in week one for the Patriots.
And we'll wrap it up there. Doug Kide, he covers the entire NFL for PFF. But again, he was in Foxborough today. Sounds like you'll be in Foxborough tomorrow, right?
Yep, so that's the plan.
For coverage of yesterday and tomorrow's or today and tomorrow's Patriots practices, check him out on Twitter @DougKide. Doug, thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Anytime, Alex.